Good morning. It's been a long time. Been a long time since I've been up here. So this is going to be something different. First, I want to thank Linda Timmons. You see these happy faces over here? That's my thing. How can I be happy? That's what it is. And she brought those. Isn't that sweet? Anyway, thanks, Linda. Okay, here we go. How can I be happy? Singer and diva Madonna is one of the wealthiest people in show business and has flaunted her self-indulgence lifetime. A couple of years ago, she was asked in an interview if she was happy. Her response was, "I don't even know anybody that's happy." Kind of sad, isn't it? Not only was she not happy, but she couldn't think of anyone who was. If you can't be happy when you have it all, how can you be happy? In looking up statistics about happiness, I found these disturbing facts. Depression disorders affect approximately 18.8 million American adults, or 9.5% of the U.S. population ages 18 and older. Preschoolers are the fastest growing market for antidepressants. That's a sad thing. At least 4% of our preschoolers, over a million, are clinically depressed. The rate of increase of depression among children is an astonishing 23%. How can this be in a land of prosperity? Could it be that our understanding of what it takes to be happy is distorted? Could it be that our values are warped and have been placed on things that do not bring true joy in life? Is it possible we are walking in the wrong path and taking the wrong road? Can it be that we are looking in the wrong places to make ourselves happy? We still think if we just had enough money, we would be happy. Someone with inappropriate humor said, "Those who say that money can't buy happiness don't know what can." Sad. Many people are willing to look anywhere but God's direction. But psychologist Dr. David G. Myers, author of Pursuit of Happiness, Who is Happy and Why, has written, "Take Care of the Soul." And he says, "Actively religious people tend to report more happiness and to cope better with crisis. Faith provides a support community, a sense of life, meaning a reason to focus beyond self and timeless perspective on life's temporary ups and downs." More and more studies are citing personal faith as one of the important ingredients to personal happiness. People of faith have a sense of security about life and future. They believe that their lives are important to the Creator and that He is watching over them and helping them through life. They feel that they are part of the created order and are in contact with the Creator. They have a relationship with God and feel they understand some fundamental truths in life. They have scriptures to lead them and inspire them during difficult times. They have a community of other believers who love and accept them and whom they share important matters of faith. They have values. They have meaning and purpose in their lives. Why wouldn't they be happier? But what if we have faith? We have faith, a relationship with God, in a supportive community, and we are still depressed. What then? There are many reasons and possibilities for continued struggle with depression and discouragement. Some of these may be out of your control, such as divorce. That was not what you wanted or anticipated. It could be a loss of employment, which has put you in a bind financially, and you realize you will probably not find a job that pays as well. It could be a serious terminal illness that struck you or one you loved. Many things are outside the realm of our control. But do we need to be in control to be happy? Are there attitudes that we can develop that will help us to live victoriously in spite of the prevailing circumstances? Even though we are Christians, it is possible that we are missing some truths that God wants us to know. Let's look at some of the factors that can block our happiness and keep us from living in joy. One happiness blocker is that I would like to point out is a demanding spirit that insists life should be good and easy. It is possible to be a Christian and believe that God owes you something. If He is on your side, many believe that nothing bad should happen and you will get what you want. Life overwhelms us, and when life becomes difficult, it is possible to become embittered. When there is an unmet need or unfulfilled desire in your life, you may become upset and angry at God. Especially in a culture where we are told that we deserve to have everything we want. It is possible they have a demanding spirit. Your house is falling down and you see someone on TV getting a brand new home and all the furnishings, and you think, why couldn't that be me? Someone wins a lot of money on a game show and you are hurting financially. So you lash out. You don't have someone in your life, or your marriage is disintegrating, and all the couples you see in the church look so happy. You ask yourself, why hasn't God given me someone? You have serious physical issues, and you wonder why other people seem to not have the problem you have. You may even be surprised that you feel angry at people who have it better than you at times. You may be mad at God because life hasn't treated you better. What we fail to see is that God is with us in our suffering. Sometimes we may slip into the error of thinking that when we are happy and blessed, God is with us in a special way. But when we are facing difficulties, we wonder if somehow God has abandoned us. Actually, God may be with us in our suffering more than He is with us in our prosperous times and ease. This is the God who not only heard the suffering of His people in Egypt, He came among them, entering their suffering. He was their deliverer in Egypt and camped with them in the wilderness. In the person of Jesus, He came into the world and entered our suffering. He experienced the pain of rejection and betrayal. He felt the brutality of the physical suffering. He surrendered to the death experience. He came near to sin, sinful men and women, rather than pushing them away. When there was suffering and death, He did not avoid it. He entered into those people's very human experiences. So just because you are experiencing difficulty does not mean that God has forgotten you. Quite the opposite. He is closer than at any other time of your life. Find him in the midst of your need, your suffering. See him there. See him there with you, for he has said. And this is our memory verse. Here we go. You want to say it with me, please? Hebrews 13:5-6. Never let I leave thee. Never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Hebrews 13:5-6. Some good one to remember, isn't it? Okay. What if you are not facing major problems but still live with a sense of restless and anxiety and guilt? You just feel down. Your life isn't bad. You just don't feel happy. A second happiness blocker is a lack of play. Many people are so busy rushing from one thing to another, they never have time to play. Their schedule and choices have loaded them with stress. There is no time for a walk, a swim, or a bike ride. These are the people who must always be doing something. But if you are always doing something, you are never being. There is no time to read or think. There is not even time for fun. Thomas Aquinas was a monk, not one you would expect to be lighthearted and playful. But this great theologian of Middle Ages said, God plays, God created playing, and man should play. He is to live as humanly as possible and to know reality since it is created by God's playfulness. What a great insight into the heart of God. We serve a playful God, and he invites us into his life of playfulness. Many of us are way too serious about life. Like me? Yeah. Many Christians think that God wants us to be serious and sober. I believe God laughs out loud, and I provide him with a lot of material. So anyway, schedule some time to play instead of finding your value in how busy you are. If you told someone you were busy at all, if you told someone you were not busy at all, they would think you were a lazy person. So what? Who cares? You know better, don't you? Yeah, you know what you do. So play. Have some fun and laugh with your family. Play ball. Walk the dog. Go to the gym to exercise. The list goes on and on. You can never be happy unless you take off the saddle. If a bow is going to remain strong and shoot arrows well, you have to take the string off the release to release the tension when it is not in use. Otherwise, it loses its spring and flexibility. Do something creative and fun. Surprise your family with a small adventure. Go somewhere you have never gone before. Have a personal time of silence where you just sit and think and pray. Don't be so serious about everything. When Ezra the priest read the law of Hebrew exiles, they realized how badly they had failed God. Weeping began to break out among the people. It grew into a chorus of sobs. But then Ezra and Nehemiah began to say some things surprising to the people. Go and enjoy choice food, sweet drinks, and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is sacred to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Rather than feel worthless and wallow in their failure, God wanted them to rejoice in his forgiveness and enter his joy. Jesus spoke to his disciples, saying, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. John 15:11. Jesus has joy. Rather, he is joy, and he wants his joy to live in us. He wants us to play in the good world he has made. A third happiness blocker is basing our happiness on circumstances rather than trust. There are always things that we can look at in our lives that we wish were different. At some level, there is always something wrong. It is a matter of perspective. It is what we choose to focus on. We can focus on the problem, or we can focus on the God who is with us in the problem and gives us the grace to overcome the problem. The same God who has been faithful and delivered us so many times in the past. Sometimes we believe in our circumstances more than we believe in God. We see them more powerful, and this is always contrary to our experience of how God has been with us and helped us in the past. How easily we forget the faithfulness of God. I was reading again this year the story of how God delivered Israel from Egypt with almighty hand and outstretched arms. But in spite of the great miracles they had seen as the people went into the wilderness, they could not believe God could provide them with food and water. They would not believe God would deliver them from smaller and less powerful nations than Egypt. How quickly they forgot that God had done what God had done for them. They were faithless, and God was faithful. Not only did he provide for them, but during their wandering in the wilderness, the Bible says, for 40 years you sustained them in the desert. They lacked nothing. Their clothes did not wear out, nor did their feet become swollen. Nehemiah 9:21. All that worry and inner turmoil over something that never happened. Sad thing, huh? Most of the things we are worried about will never happen either. Are you letting your circumstances rob you of the joy of God's wants? Rob the joy of God who wants you want to have? Is it not that his circumstances are big, but God is bigger? Do we have a God who is with us in these circumstances or not? Do we have a God we can trust or not? If we do, then let's live like it. Let's live large. Do we have a God? Let's trust God and enter into the joy that he lives in. Time magazine reported this. Studies show that the more a believer incorporates religion into daily living, attending services, reading scripture, praying, the better off he or she appears to be in two measures of happiness: frequency of positive emotions and overall sense of satisfaction with life. That is to say that it was not just people calling themselves Christians who were happier. It was those who actually practiced the Christian disciplines. It is one thing to believe in God. It is quite another thing to place your whole trust in God, to believe Him for the present and the future, and to live with Him daily. Amen.
Could we have the ushers come forward, please?
Okay. Are we going to take the communion, take the...